Welcome to Let's Talk New Mexico. I am Ty Bannerman. Hundreds of cities across the country, from Washington, D.C. to San Francisco, California, have enacted bans on plastic bags, and communities in New Mexico are no exception. Santa Fe banned plastic grocery bags several years ago. Albuquerque has just passed a bill limiting single-use plastics in grocery and retail stores. Businesses and consumers are having to adapt to a new normal, one that emphasizes the reusable over the disposable. Today, we'll be talking about plastic bag ordinances in New Mexico, and we want to hear from you. Do you take reusable bags to the grocery? Are you concerned about how a plastic bag ban will hurt your business's bottom line or your customers' pocketbooks? Call us at 277-5866 or email letstalk@kunm.org. Our first guest today is Diane Gibson, city councilor for Albuquerque's 7th District. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Ty.
Now, we are also hopeful that your fellow councilor, Brad Winter, who voted against the bill, will be calling in to join us at some point this morning, although he was not able to commit the time necessarily. So on Monday night, after a very long public comment section, the city council passed a version of the Clean and Green Retail Ordinance, which you sponsored along with councilors Benton, Borrego, and Davis. What kind of changes can we expect to see in Albuquerque stores as a result of this new law?
Well, the ordinance as passed, as amended, does provide for the prohibition of thin plastic bags, single-use plastic bags at the point of sale. So now we have some time going forward. This isn't going to happen right away, but once it's signed and enacted, it does provide for a start date of January of 2020.
And now the bill was amended from its original version specifically in that plastic straws, dry cleaner bags, and takeout containers will no longer be covered by the ordinance. What exactly will be covered at this point?
That's correct. All of the restaurant items, the carryout containers, the straws will not be covered. That was amended out of the ordinance, out of the original ordinance, as well as plastic bags for dry cleaners. So essentially what we are left with are the ban on thin plastic single-use bags.
Now, is that mainly going to be grocery stores that are affected or other stores as well?
Well, it's all retailers,
okay,
from what I understand. So, most of those bags do come from grocery stores.
Okay. So you co-sponsored this bill. How did you decide to get involved with this issue?
Well, you know, this is something that I've really wanted to do for quite a while. I've heard other counselors who co-sponsored say pretty much the same thing. And we have been approached in the past to do it. And, you know, there are just so many things going on, competing for time. Unfortunately, I have to confess, it just got kind of pushed back. But I'm very glad that we took it on this time in January. This was first introduced. And there was a group of kids who were very instrumental, the Global Warming Express. And essentially what happened is they organized themselves. They came down to city council, a city council meeting, and spoke with us, several of them. And it has an impact.
How do you feel about the bill that was passed?
I think this is an excellent first step. Plastic bags are very damaging, you know, not only aesthetically, but they get in the way of our recycling, clogs up the conveyors at the recycling plant. And they just add to overall pollution. So, I would have liked to have seen more. I certainly supported the bill as written with some of the amendments that passed. I thought made it a better bill. But we just did not have the votes on council, in order to do that. So,
Do you feel that maybe there's a way for a future bill to address the plastic use in, say, the restaurant industry, while also considering the needs of the owners of those businesses?
Sure, most definitely. I think that there's a lot that can be accomplished going forward, and I think that a lot of the groundwork that we've already laid so far in working on this particular ordinance will benefit us going forward. We've talked with a number of restaurants, and not all were against the ordinance as originally intended to include restaurant items and food service items. So I, look forward to, working with them some more and getting an even better idea of costs. Although what we have, I think you have a copy of it, a really very comprehensive and well-researched analysis that Solid Waste Environmental Health and our council office has put together, and it does talk about costs as well. So anyway, I think moving forward that there's certainly a willingness and a desire to include restaurants and make this include food service.
So still on the table. Okay, it looks like we have a phone call from Derek Toledo of the Sierra Club. Hi, Derek.
Hey, how is it going?
Good. What is your comment or question this morning?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. And I'm just happy to see the work that Councillor Gibson and the rest that supported this ordinance. I'm happy to see that the work that they did finally has paid off, and we've got our foot in the door for future successful ordinances, including the that will include straws and styrofoam.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. And I understand that you, the Sierra Club, was also involved with this Global Warming Express. Is that correct?
Yeah, and actually, I think it was like last week or 2 weeks ago that Global Warming Express changed their name to Global Warming Emergency, and they're probably one of the main reasons that we got involved. I was working the legislative session, which was over 3 weeks ago. And then 2 days later, this ordinance hit my desk and the global warming emergency kids were working on this. And so that's why I was happy to help them, because I had some experience in the session and stuff like that. So
now from the perspective of the Sierra Club, Derek, do you feel that this ban goes far enough?
We are happy that this ban has passed the way that it did. We think it's a good start. But me personally, I would have wished that it would have included the straws and the styrofoam, because those are also huge pollution factors. But yeah, it's a good start.
Okay. Now, also joining us by phone this morning is Charlene Sitton, who is the director of Santa Fe's Environmental Services Division. Good morning, Charlene.
Good morning.
So, Charlene, Santa Fe has had a plastic bag ordinance similar to the one that Albuquerque just adopted for several years now. Could you tell us, were there any difficulties in encouraging consumers and businesses to adapt to this new way of doing things?
I don't think there were a whole lot of difficulties. When the ordinance passed, it was a little bit before my time. But I know that the staff at the time did a lot of work to reach out to retailers, and they also they set up tabling outside of grocery stores, and they talked to consumers. So there was a lot of work done around deciding what to ban and the exemptions that were made. So similar to the counselor from Albuquerque, we have those same exemptions for laundry bags and food bags, pharmacy bags, and things like that.
Okay, so very similar to what we have here. And how successful has the program been in reducing the amount of solid waste generated in Santa Fe?
Well, I can't give you weight statistics, and honestly, plastic doesn't weigh that much. But I can say that one big reason to ban plastic bags that hasn't been mentioned thus far is just the litter that you see around town. And I can tell you, moving here from somewhere else where plastic bags were not banned, the litter difference visually is easy to see. when you, you know, when I go to the store and just observe, I see that a large amount of residents bring their own bags. And I would say that, you know, it's pretty successful. Of course, we have a lot of tourists, and they might not know about it. And so they're going to, you know, end up having to pay the fee to buy a paper bag.
Okay, we have an email comment from Dina. She says that she served on Santa Fe's Business and Quality of Life Committee and was involved in proposing the plastic bag ban in Santa Fe. She says grocery stores posted signs in the parking lots to remind people to bring their own bags, and people seem to be doing so. Can you tell me about kind of any educational components that Santa Fe does to help people kind of remember how the ban works and all that sort of thing?
Right. So we the fee from buying the paper bag, if you don't bring your own reusable bags, one cent is retained by the retailer to help pay for the paper bags, and then the other nine are remitted to the city, and we're able to use those funds for outreach and education around waste reduction as a whole, which includes recycling and the Bring Your Own Bag campaign. So we've recently updated it, and we give away free bags everywhere we can, and here at our Environmental Services offices. If anyone's listening that would like some bags, we have recently created in the last couple of years a residential calendar for solid waste, and that goes to that is mailed to all of our residences. It's a little late this year, but it's coming, and it really covers the Bring Your Own Bag campaign. We did a pretty large campaign around it in the holidays when people are doing a lot of shopping. So, you know, we just try to include it as part of our overall recycling outreach.
Now, Diane, does the Albuquerque ordinance provide for any education for consumers or businesses on how things are going to be working moving forward?
That's a good question. We concentrate so much on the requirements we expect from the businesses, but it does. There is a. I'm looking at it now. It does beyond enforcement. There's a impact study which is.
Okay. And Jill Holbert, one of our guests that we're going to be speaking to in a few minutes, the associate director of Albuquerque's solid waste department. Is this something that you have a comment on?
Yes. So in the ordinance itself, it does require the solid waste department to conduct and implement an outreach program to basically inform the public as well as the businesses about this new law.
Okay. So we are talking about the plastic bag ordinances in New Mexico. We would like to hear from you. Do you bring your own bags on your trips to the grocery store? What habits or tips do you have for people who are looking to transition from plastic bags? Give us a call and tell us about it at 277-5866. That is in the 505 area code, or email us at letstalk@KUNM.org. So, Jill, let's go ahead and we've already started talking to you, so let's carry on. Can you tell us a little bit about how your department, the Solid Waste Department, is going to be implementing education?
Well, we're just starting, Ty, so
right.
We haven't really come up with the plan yet. But we do also, like Santa Fe, have a broad outreach program for recycling. So I think it's going to be combined with that message. Mm-hmm. And our message on recycling really is, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle. So this goes along very well with that. That people can bring their own bags. You don't have to do without a bag. You don't have to take a paper bag. You can bring your own bag, and that will be, as Sherlyn mentioned from Santa Fe, that will also be in our messaging. We do have the capability to reach out to all of our ratepayers who we provide the garbage service for all of the city of Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. So through bill inserts and just the contact information we have through that database, we'll be reaching out to all the businesses as well.
Now, obviously, your department deals with these single-use plastic bags every single day. Can you tell us a little bit about how these bags affect the work that your department does?
So it affects us in several ways. I think both things have been mentioned, but Councillor Gibson mentioned the recycling, the bags ending up in the recycling stream. We don't want those bags, the plastic bags, excuse me, in the recycling carts. They really create a lot of issues for the processor of our recycling. They clog up the machinery. They're very expensive, and there's a lot of downtime associated with something as simple, you know, as a grocery bag, a plastic grocery bag. The second area that Charlene mentioned is litter. Clean City is part of the Solid Waste Management Department, and they're charged with cleaning up litter all over the city, and plastic bags, unfortunately, make up a large part of that litter. So we're hoping that this will see a decrease in the litter in the city.
And so you mentioned that they really are not good for the recycling stream at all. So people should not recycle these bags. I just want to reiterate that. Is that correct?
They shouldn't recycle them in their blue cart. Many of the retailers do accept them back at the point of sale for recycling, and we encourage people to use that opportunity to recycle them.
Okay, so bring it back to the store, and
correct,
they have a means of recycling them there. What are some other things that people may not understand about plastic bags and how they work in the waste stream or any other single-use plastic items?
Well, just, and I've heard the kids were wonderful when they came to talk to council, really very eloquent. And something that they stressed, which is true, that these bags are used for such a short period of time. I mean, you use that bag for minutes, maybe an hour, to bring your groceries home, and then they reside on the planet for a very, very long time, certainly outlive all of us. So just to think about that, I think. And if you do throw them away and they end up in the landfill, they sit out there at the landfill for the rest of your life and mine. So there's no such place as away. You know, you don't throw them away and they actually go away.
Now, what about paper bags? Are they, you know, kind of the silver bullet alternative here? Is it okay to just switch over to using paper bags at the grocery stores?
You know, I hate to get into that argument. I think that it's not a good practice to replace single-use plastic bags, for the information we just shared, with single-use paper bags. I think the best option really is to bring your own bag and avoid that argument altogether.
Okay, so bring your own bag is the best alternative.
Certainly.
So plastic bag bans are seen as kind of an obvious step in reducing the environmental impact of like both consumers and retail businesses. Some studies have shown that some of the alternative bags, like different kinds of reusable ones, like cotton fiber bags, may actually have a worse environmental footprint than many people realize. Is this something that your department addresses in their educational outreach?
Not at this point. That's a difficult message to get out to the public. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of complications, a lot of data involved there. But certainly, I think if everyone just thinks about overall footprint, what I've read recently is some of the thicker, multiple use reusable plastic bags have the lowest footprint. I know that sometimes that seems maybe a little counterintuitive because you want to go to cotton. It seems more natural. But everything we consume has a footprint, everything we consume. So again, just to try to consume on the lowest end of the food chain, if you will.
Okay. So, we're going to be taking a quick break here. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM. I'm Ty Bannerman. We do want to hear from you. What do you think of the plastic bag bans? Do you think communities should limit certain kinds of single-use plastics? Our number is 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM. We are also live tweeting the show, so send us your comments using the hashtag #LetsTalkNM, and we will be right back.
Part of why and how protest works is that it brings people together in real space, in real time. We put our bodies next to each other. We feel our sense of ourselves as a collectivity, which is a thing that, you know, happens in houses of worship all the time where people get together.
This edition of AR features L.A. Kaufman and Anila Afzali on the enduring power of protest.
That's Alternative Radio, Saturday night at 6 on KUNM.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, you may know him as Machete, but Danny Trejo is more than just an actor. He's an entrepreneur who runs Trejo's Tacos, and he even has a record label.
I've heard, look, mommy, the guy from Spy Kids in about 50 different languages.
Danny Trejo, next time on Latino USA.
That's Latino USA, Monday mornings at 8 a.m. on KUNM.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico. We are talking about plastic bag bans and limiting single-use plastics like straws and styrofoam to-go containers. And we are taking your calls, 277-5866, or email letstalk@kunm.org. I'd like to go to a phone call from Ron in Los Ranchos de Albuquerque. Hi, Ron.
Yes, hello.
Hi, what would you like to add to the conversation this morning, Ron?
You know, this may be slightly redundant. While I was on hold, I heard it, so I apologize if that's the case. You can cut me short, but just reading last weekend in the New York Times that single-use plastic bags, actually, if they're properly recycled, are lower impact than paper bags. Looking at the overall picture of production and recycling and decomposition. While I don't necessarily support these single-use bags at all, a lot of people, including my family, we use them for dog waste, cat waste, and it seems to me that it's a reasonably efficient way to get them to the landfill and not blowing in the air, for example. However, as other states have experienced sort of an unintended consequence of restricting the single-use bags, is people are now needing to purchase dog waste bags, which are higher impact on the environment than the single-use bags that are given out at a grocery market, supermarket, or superstore. Also, I think the comment I heard was that either canvas or take-home bags that you might buy at a supermarket, that it takes 131 uses in order to compensate for single-use plastic bags. In other words, you can use 131 single-use plastic bags with the same environmental impact as buying a canvas or plastic coated bag.
Okay, well, thank you, Ron. Let's go to Jill. Jill, do you have any comments about what Ron said? Let's focus on the reusing plastic bags for pet waste versus purchasing special bags for the same purpose.
I think everyone out there has their own little uses for their single-use plastic bags that they get from the grocery store. I think the point about purchasing those bags, there is a use for those. Dog waste is an excellent example, and you will have to purchase those bags for that purpose. I think the point here is you'll only purchase the amount you need for that purpose, and there won't be all those extraneous bags that everyone is receiving every day at the grocery store if they're using single-use plastic bags. So it should reduce the overall number of bags.
Well, and also, are some of these, purpose-built pet waste bags, are they perhaps maybe more appropriate for the recycling stream or something like that? Or not recycling stream, but maybe the landfill?
Yeah, hopefully they're not going to fly away as much. I mean, that's another issue. We do have litter at the landfill that comes directly from these single-use bags as well.
Okay. Now, I'd also like to welcome Sandra Begay, the director of Albuquerque's Environmental Health Department. And full transparency, she is also a newly appointed regent at the University of New Mexico, which holds our license. So thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Good morning, Sandra. So tell me, what will the role of the Environmental Health Department be in implementing this new ordinance?
Sure. We've been asked by City Council and also from the city to support the ordinance and however it was passed, using exactly what was passed in all the revisions.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the pieces that we are already ready for is to help with how we have inspectors that go out and inspect restaurants. They already have, in one sense, a rapport with restaurants, but that was taken out. But we also do education with grocery stores. And this has to do if there's an outbreak of some illness. Maybe the example has been like romaine lettuce, that our inspectors make sure they go out to grocery stores and make sure that item is off the shelf. That's part of our inspection for consumer health. So there's already rapport built between our inspectors and some of the grocery stores. I think it's going to be great to partner with Solid Waste on how do we educate the public. At this point, we don't really have too much of a touch to retailers, but I think that in partnership with other other departments will be able to take that on as an educational piece.
Now, your department will be at some point also doing enforcement. Are you guys going to be prioritizing enforcement or education kind of going forward at this point?
So at this point in the ordinance, it says 180 days that they have a period where we can do warnings. And then beyond that, we don't want to be punitive. We want to be able to help people ease into this. So I think it's really important for people to be even aware of the ordinance. So that's part of, I think, our inspector's position to go into places that they already have a connection to be able to educate. So we have a little bit of time to do that.
Okay, and that's then, 180 days from the start of the
right.
ordinance. Okay.
And then the other is, like we said, we don't want to be punitive, but we also have to give some warnings at some point mm-hmm. if people are not complying.
And now I noticed while watching the meeting that many of the speakers at Monday's city council meeting were representing the interests of restaurant owners, but I didn't see any grocery stores represented. In your interactions with grocers, have they expressed any opinions about this ordinance or ban?
Not that I'm aware of. I had gone to several of the city council meetings because they've had open discussion for almost a couple of months now.
Mm-hmm.
So that dialogue and all of that, I didn't hear any input from the grocery stores.
Okay. Now, one of the points that has been raised about this new ordinance is that switching from a plastic bag to a paper bag may not be enough to reduce the environmental impact of bags. Is there a way that you can encourage businesses or businesses can encourage customers to bring their own reusable bags instead of using the paper that will be provided at the point of sale?
Well, I think a lot of it is how far do we go through the educational part of just general message of recycling and what's preferred. And also, you know, at some point we talked about trying to support, as Solid Waste have had venues where they give out the canvas bags.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's an opportunity for us if we're going to be at some location, we may have some bags to give away just to give as examples.
Okay. And Diane, I think in the ordinance, is there a 10-cent fee for paper bags, or is that optional? Do you know?
That, pardon me, that was included in the ordinance, the original ordinance, as written, but that was taken out. That was amended out. I have a list of the amendments here, and that was removed.
Okay.
With Amendment 4, we removed references to fees for bags. So that's strictly up to the store owner.
So that's just the store owner. So the store owner could impose a fee like that if they wished. Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Now I'd like to go to Mike in Albuquerque. Mike has a question for us.
Yes. Mike is, why hasn't someone invented a biodegradable bag?
You mean like a biodegradable plastic type bag, or what do you mean?
No, that perhaps a paper product or hemp or something that decomposes once it's at the landfill.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts on that, Jill?
Oh, they do exist already. They do exist. But again, everything has a footprint, and creating that bag has a footprint. And so I'm sticking with the bring your own bag message.
So bringing your own bag is really the most important thing.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to kind of put this question to the panel this morning. One of the criticisms of this ordinance in its original form was that it would have placed too much financial burden on restaurant owners and dry cleaners who would have had to find a way to cost-effectively transition from single-use plastics to more sustainable alternatives. How can Albuquerque and other cities make sure that future ordinances balance the needs of the environment with these financial realities that many small businesses face?
Well, I think we have to continue the dialogue that's already been started, and we have talked with several restaurants as well as distributors here in town, and I think we need to continue doing that. And as I mentioned before, this assessment that was or study that was conducted by city departments does talk, at least in part, on the costs and how costs can be increased for restaurants. And it's minimal. I believe it's minimal, depending on what product the restaurant wants mm-hmm. to go with. You know, there's a, you know, there's a Cadillac version and there's a Chevy version. You know, unfortunately, this may require some restaurants to raise their prices a little bit. I just look forward to continued dialogue with them, with distributors, to come up with a good plan so that they may be included in future legislation.
Okay, it looks like we have a call from Gilbert in Santa Fe. Hi, Gilbert. Gilbert, are you there?
Yeah, I sure am. Hi. Okay. Thanks for taking my call.
What is your question, Gilbert?
What I want to know is with the number of lower income citizens in the state of New Mexico, how this is going to affect them. If those purchasing their food items with food stamps or milk with a WIC, can a lot of times they cannot afford that 10 cents for that extra bag. And I'm sure that the state doesn't pay for those bags. So how is the city of Albuquerque addressing this issue?
Okay, well, first of all, it looks like the 10-cent fee is not going to be a requirement. But I do think we should definitely talk about, is there any plan for assisting people who are lower income in acquiring reusable bags at this point?
Ty, yes, the city already gives out reusable bags right now. We give them out at different tabling events around the city. So I think that's going to be part of our strategy moving forward, is trying to get more reusable bags out into the public's hands.
Now, if there is a low-income family who needs bags, is there a place that they can go to pick some up?
Sure. Okay. I would call 311 just to make sure that we can connect you with the bags.
Okay. Charlene, are you still there?
Yes. So in Santa Fe, we do have a mandatory 10-cent fee for paper bags, which came about a year after the original plastic bag ban, because it was observed that everyone just moved to paper bags instead of bringing reusable bags. So the bag fee was a way, per an earlier question, to encourage people more to bring their own reusable bags. But per our ordinance, anybody on any kind of income assistance or SNAP, they don't have to pay the 10-cent fee.
Oh, I see. So there's an exception made for people who are on SNAP.
Yes.
Okay, great. Now I have a question from Maria in Albuquerque. Maria?
Hello.
Thank you for joining us this morning. What is your comment?
Well, my comment is that there's a local corner grocery store where I live downtown, and they said that they were going to still use the plastic bags and just pay the fine, wondering if that's allowable, and that probably one person told me that probably the fine cost would go into raising the prices of the products that they sell. And that seems to be, I live in a low-income neighborhood, so that seems to be making the customer pay for all of this.
So let's go to Sandra. Sandra, do you have any thoughts on that? Is that a viable decision on that business's part?
You know, they're going to have to decide for themselves, and that's part of where you have the days of where you get just a warning and education, and after that we're going to have to take it up with how they violate the ordinance.
So it sounds like your approach with this business would be to open a dialogue with them first.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay. I have another question for the panel. Do you have any suggestions for other ways that consumers could be mindful of their use of plastics while shopping or dining that isn't just a matter of choosing to take a reusable bag? Diane?
Sure. I can tell you that I've changed my shopping habits. I take my own bags to the grocery stores or any other stores I go to, keep them in the back of the car. They're paper bags. I've used them several times. In fact, there's one or two that has been taped up, and they suit me just fine. I know eventually that they'll have to be replaced, but I know I've been using those same bags since January, since we introduced this. And actually, I would give credit to the Global Warming Express or Emergency. I didn't know they changed their name, because they are the impetus. They are the ones who made sure that I was aware of that and changed my habits. So I think there's that. I think there's not only recycling. We need to recycle a little bit, you know, more carefully, lower our contamination of recycled items. What we have picked up from our homes, but just changing personal habits a little bit at a time.
Okay, how about you, Jill? Any tips for things people can do to sort of reduce their waste when they're either shopping or dining?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head with reduce. I mean, just really look at what you're purchasing, whether it's given to you like a plastic shopping bag or a single-use plastic shopping bag, or just products that you pick up on the shelves. You have the choice as a consumer to purchase something that has a lot of plastic wrapping or doesn't have any plastic wrapping. And I think that's important as a consumer to exercise that power that you have.
What sort of bags do you use at the grocery store, Joe?
I have. Can I mention Trader Joe's on the radio? I have some awesome Trader Joe's bags. The reusable, okay. Reusable Trader Joe's bags.
any other suggestions? Do you guys? Anybody?
Sure.
Sandra,
I'll give you a really straightforward example. I was invited by a small group of Cub Scouts to talk about what we do at Environmental Health, and right outside the window, I pointed to a plastic bag that was stuck in the tree. And I had them know what was the impact had and how much influence they would have on their families and their parents. They were the ones that would remind the parents, we're going to the store. Do we have our bags in the car? If you can get young people, kids, to really be that reminder of what we need to do, they'll take on that charge. They
Wonderful.
Will take it up with no questions.
Now, I do have to mention, of course, that public radio has been offering tote bags for years, so... Maybe a very good alternative to the plastic bag. Well, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much to everyone who called in to share your thoughts. Thanks so much to our guests. The conversation does not have to end here. You can share your thoughts by commenting on KUNM.org or email letstalk@KUNM.org. If you missed part of the show, you can stream it online or subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. On the next Let's Talk New Mexico, we will remember New Mexicans killed recently by violence and talk about how to process grief in the aftermath. I'm Ty Bannerman. Our engineer is Marino Spencer. Kaveh Movahed screened your calls and Celia Rainey live tweeted the show. Elaine Baumgartle is our executive producer. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM.
And K216 CU Cuba, online at KUNM.org.